Second Chronicles, chapter 24. Second Chronicles, chapter 24. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. Second Chronicles, chapter 24. In verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now drop down to verse 22. Then it says in verse 22, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Assyria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Assyrians came with a small company of men. Now you need to understand in the Bible that those who were thought to be great always surround themselves with powerful armies. But if God was on their side, he could take out those powerful armies with just a small company of men. I mean, we see that in the story of Gideon. We see that in other places in the Bible. You know, there is no army that's more powerful than God, okay? Now look at verse 24. It says, for the army of the Assyrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again for the opportunity to be here, Lord, privileged to be at church this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you be with those who are unable to be here this morning, those, Lord, who for this COVID, Lord, that just don't feel comfortable coming to church. And I just pray that you'll be with them, minister to them this morning, Lord. But Lord, we are thankful for those that have come this morning, Lord, into your house. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word, that you will give us, Lord, the conviction that we need, Lord, that we may stay clean before you, and Lord, that we will heed your warnings. And certainly this scripture gives us many warnings. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll have your will and way during this service, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these two passages that we see here, really we see a miraculous story of a boy king. I say it's miraculous because back in 2 Chronicles 22, before you ever get here, you read what really led up to what we read in our passage here. What had happened was that there was a wicked woman ruler by the name of Athaliah who had killed all those who might have had right to the throne in order to seize control of the throne. She wanted to be the leader, and so she killed all those that had rights so she could be the leader. But what this wicked ruler did not know was that this boy king, Joash, who was the son of the late king Ahaziah, had been hidden from her so that she could not kill him, and this little boy had the right to the throne. He was the only one surviving. And so this boy was hid, and this boy was hid in the house of God, the Bible tells us. Now, when you read, that's what you read in chapter 22. Then when you get to chapter 23 of 2 Chronicles, you'll read that there was a high priest whose name was Jehoiada, and he was the one who found out about this little boy being in the house of God, being protected, being the only survivor. And he knew that God intended for the seed of David to take the throne and to sit on the throne and not this wicked woman who was there. And so Jehoiada and the priest and then the Levites, they protected this young boy so that he would grow up and be king. And the Bible says that there was a great praise and shouting by all the people when this little boy was finally anointed king. So much so that the wicked Athaliah heard about it. She heard everybody, you know, making praises and yelling praises and being happy and all this. And she wanted to know what all the hubbub was about. So when she arrived there at the throne room, she saw this little boy getting the king's throne put on his head. And she gets so angry, she starts yelling, "Treason, treason." And it was then that the high priest Jehoiada commanded the Levites to take this wicked woman outside of the temple and kill her. And that's exactly what they did. She tried to usurp authority over the throne. It was not hers. She had tried to kill all those who had a right to the throne. But this little boy had been hidden. And finally, he becomes king. The people are happy. And this woman gets justice. And then we're told in our opening passage that Joash, this boy king, began to reign when he was 7 years old. Now, can you imagine that? 7 years old. I mean, you look at some of the kids that we have here today, and you look at the ones that are 7 years old, can you imagine one of them having the crown put upon him and being king? That's what was happening here. He began to reign when he was 7 years old, and he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. What a great story. I mean, that's just a wonderful story. This was an absolute miracle of God that this little boy Joash was sitting on the throne ruling over Israel. Now, you would think that the story that begins like this story began, and you would think that after we see everything happen, you would think that this story would have a great ending. I mean, honestly, if we just stopped it right there, we could walk away and we'd all be happy. It's like, man, that was just great. That was just a great story. But certainly that's not what happened. There are. If we stopped it right here, we could say, you know, this boy obviously grew up. This boy, once he became king, he would remember the things that God did for him. He would remember that God was really the one who protected him. He would remember that it was God's grace that he was sitting on the throne. And you would think that he would, all of his days, he'd be thankful for the Lord for what he did. He would be one of those people that would say, Lord, I am the king today because of what you did for me. When you protected me, when this wicked Athaliah was killing all of my brethren and all those who had right to the throne, and I was the only one left, and I was the one being hid in the house of God, you would think that this boy king, all of his days would say, you know what, I'm so thankful for what the Lord did for me that I'm going to serve him all of my days. I'm going to be faithful to him to all of my days. That's the way you would think that he would be, wouldn't you? But that's not the way things happened. Now, the story of Joash closely resembles the lives of a lot of Christians today, because there are many Christians today who are saved and know that it was the grace of God that saved them, but rather than live for the Lord, they no longer live for the Lord anymore. Some of them have left the house of God the same way that Joash had. They just left. And they don't care about coming to church. They don't care about... Now, when I'm saying come to church, I'm not talking about those people who are physically unable. I'm not talking about those people who for fear of COVID don't come. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who are not right with God, who have left coming to church. They don't come to church anymore. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. It's like they just walked away from the Lord. That's the people I'm talking about this morning. And really, Joash is a perfect picture of a lot of Christians just like that. And so Joash, he served God faithfully. He loved the Lord. He was obedient to the Lord at the beginning. But if you'll notice there in 2 Chronicles 24:4, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord." It started off good. I mean, after all, the house of the Lord had been torn apart by Athaliah. She was a wicked woman. She had done things that they shouldn't have done in the house of the Lord. But when Joash took over, he saw that God needed more respect than that, and the house of God needed more respect. So look at verse 5. He says, "He gathered together the priests and the Levites." Now this is the boy king now. "And he said to them, go out from the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, why hast thou not required the Levites to bring in and out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness?" In other words, he's saying, listen, we need to do some repairs. We need to make this a place of honor again. We need to do these things, so we need to bring this, whatever it takes, let's get this stuff done. And the Levites were dragging their feet. Verse 7. "For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And also of all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam." She really made a mess of the place. "And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end." Joash realized that the honor of God demanded that the temple be repaired. And Joash at this time was a great man of God. He was a great worker in the house of the Lord, and he wanted to leave the house of the Lord better than the way it was than when he found it. Now, I wish the story had ended right there, but it doesn't. See, Joash began his reign very well, but something happened that made his life end in disaster. How could a person like Joash trust in the Lord and be such a wonderful worker, a wonderful leader for so long, and then just all of a sudden change like this and have such a horrible end to his life? Something obviously changed the way this man thought. Something obviously changed the way he looked at things. And I want to show you this morning three things that happened in succession now that changed this man's thinking and made him leave the house of God. I want to show you what made Joash's life, which was so miraculous and so good at the beginning, end in such tragedy. The first thing I want to show you that happened, the very first step in him leaving the house of God and getting away from God, from him going from a man, a young boy who had been anointed king, who served the Lord so faithfully, and in the end, judgment of God is upon him, I want to show you the succession of things that happened. And the first thing I want to show you is this, and that is his desire to please God changed. His desire to please God changed. What was it that made his desire to please God change? Well, one thing that changed in Joash's life that added to this, I mean, when you see it, how it's written here, he seemed to change after a certain event. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. There was a certain event that happened in his life, and it seemed from that point on that his thought of pleasing God just changed altogether after this happened. In verse 11 it says, "Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance." So they're repairing the temple and they're moving along with that. "And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it." So things were really going good here with Joash. I mean, the temple was getting repaired, the house of God was getting strengthened, God was blessing Judah and their king. You say, well, why was God blessing them so much? Well, look at verse 14. It says, "And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada." So they're moving in the right direction. This priest knew what the Bible said about how God wanted to be worshipped. He made sure that those sacrifices were made to God just like the Bible says they were supposed to be. Because this priest knew that doing things God's way would please God. And Joash knew that if it pleased God well, that certainly God would bless that. That's why he allowed the priest continually make the sacrifices. But then something happened. Everything was going good. They were repairing the temple. They were worshiping God in that temple now rather than Balaam. Joash, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and everything's going good. But then the old priest Jehoiada died. He died. And that seemed to change everything. Now, we're going to read about that, his death here in just a few minutes, but once that old priest died, Joash and Judah did not continue to offer sacrifices unto God the way they once did. It seemed that the desire to please God had completely left Joash. Earlier in Joash's life, Joash lived to please God. He hired masons to repair the temple of God. He wanted everything just to be just right. But then the priest died. And he went from being a man who wanted to please God any way he could to a man who really didn't care much about pleasing God at all. What was it that made Joash's desire to please God change? Well, it could be because Joash was never really trying to please God in the first place. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, maybe he wasn't trying to please God, but he was trying to please the priest. It is a strange thing that when the priest says, hey, listen, we need to start worshiping again, and the priest is right there. By the way, this is the same priest that was there that protected him when he was a young boy. I imagine this priest probably meant a lot to him. And I imagine Joash really wanted to please that priest a lot. But, and maybe when it comes to doing what he did, Maybe he really wasn't doing it for God. He was doing it for the priest. And you know, I've seen people today that they come to church and they help out in church and they don't do it for God. They do it because of what other people think about them. They do it because they want to please the pastor. May I tell you something, folks? If you haven't already learned this, pastors can disappoint you. People can disappoint you. Amen? You should never do what you do. If you're serving the Lord, don't you do it for me. Don't you do it for other people in this church. You do it for God. That's what you're to do. And listen, if you'll do it for God, if you'll serve God, you know what you'll find? You'll find you'll stay more faithful to the Lord. You'll find that it'll take a lot to get you to leave the house of God. Why? Because you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for somebody else. You're doing it for the glory of God. And you know, there are a lot of people today that they serve the Lord, and they're doing things in church, and they're going and doing things, but they're not doing it for the Lord. They're doing it for somebody else. And all that it takes then is for the pastor to say something wrong that they don't agree with, and whoosh, out they go. All it takes is for somebody to do you wrong or say something wrong to you that makes you mad, and whoosh, out you go, and you leave the house of God. Now you listen, folks, you see it all over the place happening like that. Let me tell you something. If you're serving God for God, if you're serving because you love Him, you're going to be a whole lot more graceful to other people. And listen, even though I'm going to make you mad, I'm going to disappoint you from time to time, I'm going to make mistakes. You know why? Because I'm a sinner just like you. We all make mistakes, even your pastor. Amen. Probably more so than I probably make more mistakes than you do. And so if you're expecting me to, I mean, if you're doing something for me, it's going to be short-lived. Because eventually you're going to get mad at me. Everybody else has. You know, anybody in here, somebody's never gotten mad at you? Amen? You don't do what you do for me. You don't do what you do for anybody else in this church. You do it for the Lord. Amen. You do it for the Lord. Now, if Joash was doing really what he was doing for the sake of God, for the sake of glorifying Him, why is it when all of a sudden Jehoiada the priest died that he quit doing it? You ever ask yourself that? Kind of makes you think that maybe he wasn't doing it for the Lord, he was doing it for Jehoiada the priest. And he's saying, well, Jehoiada the priest ain't here anymore, so I guess I don't have to do it. May I tell you, folks, listen. When I took over, when I went down to Oklahoma, I became their pastor. And the second I became their pastor, one of the things that I heard people say before they left that church was, he's not the same as what I'm used to. He's not. He doesn't preach like the last pastor. And you know what they did? They left. Let me ask you something. Who were they serving God for? Were they serving God for that pastor, or were they serving God because it was for the glory of the Lord? Amen? What I'm trying to say is this. One of these days, I'm going to pass. And when I pass, if you're serving in this church, don't leave just because the next pastor comes in isn't me. That would be ridiculous. You know why? You're not serving because of me. You're serving because of God. You're to glorify Him. Amen. Don't ever leave church. Listen, folks. When a person quits, I'm not talking about people moving. I'm talking about a person actually getting out of church and never coming back to church. Today, if you were to leave this church and never come back to any church, I'm just going to tell you that you're not right with God if you do that. You say, why? Because it's God's will for you to be in church. It's God's will for you to be a part of a local assembly. And what you do is you do for the glory of God, not for me. And for a person to leave and say, well, that person made me mad. You know how many people, when I go out and talk to people and I say, well, you know, are you saved? And when they say yes, it just opens up a whole bunch of questions. Because then I could say, well, tell me how you got saved. Tell me how, and they tell you. Sometimes they are, or at least they claim to be. And I'll say, well, what church you go to? And a lot of times I'll say, well, you know, I go down to this church down here. And I'll say, yeah, is so and such there the pastor? And I'll just throw out a name, John Brown. Is John Brown still the pastor there? And they'll say, oh, yes, yes, I talked to him last week. Amen? You know, the problem is this, they're not in church anymore. And then I'll say, well, how come you're not going to church? I already know they're not being honest because of John Brown. But I'll say, well, So you used to go to church, yes. I said, well, how come you don't go anymore? And here's what I hear. Well, you know, a bunch of hypocrites over there. They're always doing this. You know, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to be a part of a bunch of hypocrites. Number one, everywhere you go is filled with hypocrites. Amen. You go to Walmart, you go anywhere. You know what you find in Walmart? Hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, listen. Anybody here ever said, tell your kids, do as I say, not as I do? Amen. Could you be more hypocritical than that? I mean, that is the epitome of hypocrisy, okay? But that's us. All of us do. All of us are that way. Listen, that's just an excuse not to be in church. I've talked to people, you know what they say? A lot of them, they'll say this. Well, I went over there, but so and such, this happened. Oh, those people have made me mad, and I just left. Or I hear this. That preacher over there, he's just preaching at me, so I left. Now listen, I'm not saying that things that happen in church are always great. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this, that there are a lot of people today that use a lot of excuses not to come to church. And usually those excuses involve other people. Then my question is this, for who are you, when you come to church, who are you there to serve? Why are you there to serve? Listen, whose glory are you doing whatever you're doing? What are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the people? If you're doing it for God, listen, people are going to disappoint you. I'm just going to tell you that in this church, which I think is the greatest church in Great Falls, a little bit biased, okay? But what I'm going to tell you is this, that in this church, if you're serving, I guarantee you somebody's going to make you mad.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. They are. But that's no reason to quit. You know what that is? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know what that is? That's the devil trying to get you to quit.
Amen.
That's all it is. It's the devil. And if you're doing it for the glory of God, you know what? The devil is not going to be able to get much ground there with somebody else. All of a sudden the preacher says something that makes you mad. That's just the devil trying to get you to quit. Now listen, if I say something that's unscriptural, now we got a different problem, okay? But if I'm preaching the word of God and it makes you mad, well, that's not flesh and blood. That's principality and power trying to get you to quit. And I'll tell you something, folks, people quit awfully easy these days. They quit awfully. It don't take much. Don't take much. And I tell you this, I think that a lot of Christians are thin-skinned today. We shouldn't be. And honestly, to tell you the truth, the Christians should be the thickest-skinned people out there. If you're out there serving the Lord and you're out there telling people about Jesus Christ, you should thicken up a little bit. Amen? Why? You're going to take it on the chin a couple times. People are going to get angry at you sometimes. People are going to say, don't preach to me. Family members are going to say that to you. But a lot of Christians today, they just quit for almost no reason. And the reason why is because they're not serving God for the right reason. They're serving God because they're trying to please somebody else. They do what they do for somebody else. And I have a feeling that maybe that's what happened to Joash. You see, he was serving the Lord. I mean, he was on fire. I mean, he was taking care of the temple. Everything was going great. But then the priest died. And from that point on, down he went. Makes me kind of wonder if that was what started it all off. Well, I'll tell you this. When it comes to him actually leaving the church of God, the first step was, regardless if it was because of the priest or not, the first step was that his desire to please God had diminished. And I'm just going to tell you, anybody who has ever left church and never come back, I guarantee you the first thing that happened to them was the desire to please God got less than what it was before. Amen. That was the first step. That's what happened to Joash. But then it went from that step to the next progressive step, and that is his desire to serve God changed. You see, it was his desire to please God got less, but then the desire to serve God changed. Look if you would at verse 17. It says, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God their fathers. Now, Joash here had now come to a turning point in his life. He said in his mind, I don't need to come to the house of the Lord anymore. It's not that important that I come here and serve God like he had been. Just think of all the things that could have that happened to Joash, all because that one point in his life he made a turn and decided to leave the house of God and stop serving the Lord. When it comes to our Christian life, once we start down a wrong road, it seems that we continue to take wrong turns from there on out. And that's exactly what Joash did. First, his desire to please the Lord became less, and that led him to leaving the house of the Lord, no longer wanting to serve the Lord. And many Christians go down this same path as well. They start off strong. Things are going good in their lives. They're serving the Lord well. And the church that they're in is getting strengthened. But the things that they do in church are really not for the glory of God. They're done for the sake of the pastor or for somebody else. And then they start to spiral down from there. And if I had a dime for everybody in the last 15 years who said that they used to go to church, but something happened, I'd be a rich man. These people never came for the purpose of serving the Lord in the first place. They came for the purpose of serving somebody else. And maybe they came for the wrong reasons to begin with. Maybe they came because they wanted power in the church. Maybe they came because they had friends in the church. And maybe they came just because coming to church is what they've always done. It seems like people have a lot of reasons for coming to church on a Sunday morning. But the question is, are you coming for the right reason? For the right reason. You know, if you're here this morning because the only reason you're here is because you were made to come, folks, I'm thankful that you're here and the Lord's got a message for you. But you know what? You should be here because you want to be here. Amen. Everybody in here should be here because you want to be here. You know how many people today are unable to be in this church who really want to be here? I mean, they really want to be here, but they're just not able to be here. There are people in nursing homes today that wish that they could be sitting right where you're sitting, but they're not able to. Don't you understand it's a privilege for you to come to church? Amen. It's a privilege. Now, we're told to do that, but it's only by the grace of God that you're here. Listen, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you're talking about the grace of God. God allowed you to be here this morning as an unsaved person to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, listen. Your desire to serve God shouldn't become less as Christians. It should be more. The more you grow, the more you'd want to serve Him, but for the right reasons. Do whatever you're going to do here. If you're going to serve this morning, I think about our Sunday school teachers. They're back there serving those children. By the way, that is such a blessing to hear the voices of those children this morning. I mean, to hear children's voices in church is the greatest blessing you'll ever hear, because I'll tell you, I've been in churches where there were no children, and it was quiet. And people say, I really enjoy the silence. Yes, but you need those children. Amen. And the thought of hearing those children here and knowing they're going to hear the gospel, that is a great blessing. And there are people back there that are teaching those children. There are some of you who have been volunteering to teach the children and to help out and do bulletins and do whatever needs to be done. And those things are great. We need more volunteers. But make sure when you volunteer for the right reason. Don't do it because I asked you to. If a pastor asks me to, if I say no, I'll be made to look bad. No. Do it for the Lord. And if you can't do it for the Lord, don't do it. You know, the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm not going to preach on tithes this morning. Don't worry about that. But what I am going to say is this, that you can get a whole lot from that verse where it says that God loveth a cheerful giver. You know why? Because if you're serving God, you should be happy about what you're doing. Amen? You should. Now, I'll tell you this. I've seen people give to the Lord, and they were not cheerful givers. You know, they come around, the offering plate come around, and they're like, oh. Or the pastor mentions something about it, they'll say, always preach about money, 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 money. Hey, I'm going to say something, folks, it's going to blow your mind from a Baptist preacher. Hang on. Here it comes. If you can't be happy about giving to this church, whether it be your time, your service, or whatever, don't give it. Why? If you can't do it for the Lord, then don't do it. Why? That's what you're here for. When you serve, you're supposed to serve for the Lord. And if you can't do that happily, if you're doing that grudgingly, if you're doing it, you know, for some other reason, don't do it. Because I'd much rather, listen, if you're doing it for me or doing it for somebody else, it'll only be a short time, and then you'll fly the coop. You'll get out of here. You get burned out. But if you're doing it for the Lord, you'll keep on trucking. Amen. Now, that's what we need, folks. We need to do what we do for the Lord. So the first step in Joash's demise was his desire to please God began to diminish. That led to the second step, which was his desire to serve God started to diminish. And then came the third and final step in the downfall of Joash, And that step was his desire to worship God went away. Look what happened right after Joash and the princes of Judah left the house of God. Now, get this. Jehoiada the priest died. His desire to please God and to serve God started to go down, and he left the house of God. Look what happened right after that. Look at verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God their fathers and served groves and idols. Now, isn't that something? You know what happened? The second he left the house of God, his desire to worship God wasn't there anymore. You know what his desire to worship was? Other gods. Isn't that a strange thing? I mean, this is the same man who, when he took over his king, when things were going good, he went into the temple and he said, hey, let's get rid of all this Baal worship stuff. Athaliah, she's been worshiping Baal and all this stuff. Let's rebuild it. Let's make sure we honor God and everything. And they were moving right. They were moving in the right direction. But then Jehoiada the priest died. He says, okay, now Jehoiada the priest died. I guess I don't have to keep on doing what I'm doing. And then his desire to serve God outlasts. And then all of a sudden, he leaves the house of God. He steps out of church. And what happened? He went back to worshiping the very people that Athaliah was. Worshiping the very same false gods that Athaliah was worshiping. You know how many people that I've seen that just quit church? You know what they're doing now? They're living for self. You say, are they worshiping other gods? Maybe they're not worshiping a little statue there. If they are, that's just weird. If you're doing that, it's more just knock it off, okay? But what I'm saying is that maybe they're not worshiping a statue. But I'll tell you what they are doing. They buy things, toys, material things. And those things take up all their time. They would rather have those things than come into church and have the things of God and worship God. You know what's happened? They start to worship material things in their lives. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's sports. A lot of that during, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, let's face it. There are a lot of people who say, you know what, I'd like to come to church on Super Bowl Sunday, but Super Bowl's on. I say this every year, so I'll say it again. Here's my plug. There's a reason why the Super Bowl's on Sunday. Right. Amen. There's 7 days in a week. It could be on any of the other days, but no, it's on a Sunday. Make no mistake where the devil wants you to be when that Super Bowl comes on. They have record for a reason. Now, I love football too, okay? Not that I'm really a big fan of NFL anymore, but I used to be. And I don't know who's going to be there this year, and I really don't care. But if you do, you can record it. Amen? You should never miss church for the sake of something like that. These people, he was in church, he was serving the Lord, he was faithful, but then when he left church, the first thing you see is he started worshiping other gods. And I'll tell you something, folks. He went from a person to being with a burning desire to please God, and now he had no desire to worship the Lord at all. And the only thing that he wanted now to worship was groves and false idols. It never fails when people get out of church or stop coming to church. It isn't long before they stop serving the Lord altogether, and they start putting more emphasis on the fleshly desires than the things that God wants us to focus on. Just like Joash and these princes, they began to worship idols in groves. There are people today that both you and I know that used to serve the Lord with a lot of zeal. They used to be the ones that were the first ones in the door on Sunday morning. And now they've stopped coming to church altogether. And now because of all they have going on in their lives, they no longer have time for God. And may I tell you that in every case that I've seen where that has happened in the life of a Christian, their lives always went from receiving blessings to tragedy. It's always happened that way. But now I want you to look at verse 19. And really, this is the greatest part of this whole passage. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19, it says, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them. Now, here's what's happening. Joash and his princes, their desire to serve the Lord is diminished, their desire to please the Lord is diminished, and all of a sudden he leaves the house of God because his desire to worship the Lord is no longer there. He leaves the house of God, and now he's out here worshiping the false gods and the groves and those sorts of things. Now, God at that point could have struck him dead that quick. Amen? Could have. But it says here that he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them. He sent prophets to these people and said, listen, Joash, you're messing up here. Don't you remember how good God was to you when you were a little boy? Don't you remember by the grace of God that he saved you from destruction, and he made you a king amongst your people? Don't you realize the things that God has done for you? Why don't you repent of this nonsense of worshiping these false gods and come on back? Now, would you agree that that's a pretty gracious thing that God did there? I mean, here's Joash. He's worshiping false gods. Certainly that's something that he could be put to death for. But the Lord sends these prophets to him and basically tells him that he needs to repent, get right, and again start to receive the blessings of God. And you know, God in his grace always gives a person a chance to make things right, doesn't he? Always. Now, how did Joash and the princes of Jerusalem react to God's grace here? I mean, I'm sure that when God says, hey, listen, you need to come back, you need to repent, knock this nonsense off and come back and start serving me and start pleasing me, how did he react? Well, you'd think that he would say, amen, I'll repent, I'll get right. But look at verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against him, but they would not give ear. When God gave them a chance to make things right and to again to please God and serve God and to worship God, Joash and the princes of Judah thumbed their noses at the grace of God. And then look what happened. Verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Now this is after they decided they weren't going to listen to those prophets. He says, now you decided to forsake the Lord, now the Lord will forsake you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done unto him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. It came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. If only Joash had taken God up on his offer. When God sent those prophets to Joash and to those men and said, Joash, why don't you just stop this worshiping of false gods? Why don't you just stop this attitude that you have? Joash, why don't you just start loving me, want to please me again and want to worship me again and get back in the house of God? If only he had listened. I wonder what would have happened. But he didn't listen. And rather than having blessings all of his life, God's judgment was upon him. You know, someone who started off so good in life, his life ended so bad. And it did start because his desire to please God went away. And that led to the desire to serve God going away, which led to the desire to worship God going away. And they left the house of God, and all those things were bad. I mean, all those things, it was a horrible part of the story. But the thing that brought judgment from God, if you notice in that scripture there, the thing that brought judgment from God was not the fact that his love for God had decreased. God did not bring judgment upon him because his desire to serve God had decreased. God did not bring judgment upon him because he left the house of God. Listen, God didn't even bring the judgment upon him because he was worshiping false gods. Do you know why God brought judgment upon Joash? Because when God sent those prophets and said, repent, he wouldn't listen. That's the reason the judgment of God came. Now I'm going to tell you what that teaches us, folks, is this. In your lives as Christians, and my life, all of us, we're going to mess up every day. We're going to mess up. We're going to sin from time to time. Amen? We're going to do that. There's no reason, listen, we should all sin less than we have now that we're Christians, because we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit of God within us and convicting us, so we should sin less, but none of us can say we're without sin, because the Bible says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. Amen? So basically, if you say you're not, if you don't sin anymore, then you are sinning by lying. Okay? But what I'm saying is this, is when you do mess up, that's not what's going to bring judgment of God upon you. No more than it was with Joash. Him messing up is not what brought judgment of God upon him. Him worshiping those idols wasn't what brought judgment upon him. And you messing up is not going to bring judgment upon you. But I'll tell you what will bring judgment upon you is when you're reading your Bible or you're hearing a preacher preach and the Holy Spirit is within you and he's poking that finger in your chest and he's saying, thou art the man, you have this problem, you have this attitude, you're harboring this sin, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you need to stop, you need to repent, you need to come on back. If you turn a blind ear or a blind eye to that, and you refuse to listen to God's warning, you know what's going to happen? God's going to chasten you as his child. God doesn't want it to come to that. God did not want what happened to Joash to happen. That's the reason he warned him, to repent, get right. But Joash said, "No, I'm not going to listen to any of it. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to repent." And the Lord took care of him. And he died. And he wasn't even buried amongst the kings. Listen, folks, we don't have to be like Joash this morning. Nobody does. When you serve the Lord, you serve the Lord for him. When you should have a desire to please God just because you love him. And you should worship God. Listen, if you're here this morning in this church, you know why you should be here? Because you say, I'm here this morning because that's God's word. I want to hear God's word being preached. And I want to hear him talk to me. And I want to spend time in the presence of God. And I want to sing praises to him because I love him. That's the reason you should be here this morning. Any other reason, you're here for the wrong reasons. And you know what's going to happen? If you come for the wrong reasons, eventually you'll leave. You will. And when you do leave, you know what's going to happen? The devil's like this. Because once you step outside of the church, you leave the house of God, and you no longer have that church family to encourage you, to pray for you, and you no longer come to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God, the devil's just saying, okay, I've got him now. He's out. You know what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 5? It says that when people are living in sin, to put them outside of the church for the destruction of the flesh. And it talks about how the devil's going to get them. Hey, listen, folks, you are not safe if you're not coming to church and you're not reading your Bible and not hearing preaching. You're not safe. Because the second you step out there and you're away from that, that flesh is going to be on you like nobody's business. The devil's going to be on you like nobody's business. And eventually, you'll start worshiping false gods. But if you're here this morning and you're here for the wrong reason, or maybe you've been out of church for a while and you're looking to coming back and you want to start serving the Lord again, you know what? Listen, if you've got sin in your life this morning, just repent of it. If the Lord is showing you this morning that you're not here for the right reason, you know what? Just repent of it. Make things right. Don't say, I don't want to hear anything about it. Just make things right this morning. And if you do that, and you're serving the Lord for the right reasons, folks, and you keep coming to church, you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow stronger in the Lord and stronger in the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, the more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you're going to love him. Amen. The more you read about why he went to that cross, you can't help but love him the more you read about him. And the more you love the Lord, the more you're going to love people, the more you're going to want to serve the Lord. The more you want to worship the Lord, that's where you want to be. Is that where you are this morning? Or are you like Joash, just waiting for somebody to say the wrong thing to you so you can book? Just waiting for a preacher to say the wrong thing so you can get on out of here. You're not safe if you leave. You need to get right this morning. Let's stand.